morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
Well, Denise, we're not quite yet into officially summer, but as we all know, our summer starts almost in late February or early April. But we do want to offer you some tips for the month of June. And even though you think there might not be a whole lot to do in the month of June because it might be really hot or uncomfortable, believe it or not, there are some things that you might want to do outdoors to keep your plants looking great.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, around this time of the year, I really like to garden in the evening times. Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, it just gets way too hot too quick in the morning. So a nice after evening project, nice time to get outside. Even when the sun starts going down, it's still very warm, and you can get a lot of things done, especially with the long days. I think it's really important. I think it's a really nice time to look about your turf maintenance. And I think a lot of times people, you know, we see it as a big chore to have to really, you know, go out there and mow the grass and really, you know, think about what that purpose of that turf is doing in your backyard. If it's there just to cause another maintenance issue, then probably it's in the wrong place. Definitely, if you have pets or children and you need, you know, space for them to run, that's great to have. But you can definitely cut down on your maintenance costs by really looking at the amount of fertilizer that you put on there. The more fertilizer you add, the more vigorous the plant will grow, and thus it's going to need more mowing. So really, you know, cut back on that. You know, your turf doesn't really need too much fertilizer. You can really get away with the one early spring application and then kind of hit it later in the fall. But right now, just kind of make sure that you water it enough and deeply so that you can get that water going into the roots.
And the Bermuda that we see in most people's yards, it's pretty tolerant of maybe not necessarily long dry spells, but it's very resilient.
Right, exactly. And one of our rules of thumb is if you walk over your Bermuda grass and you start seeing your footprints kind of leaving your little spaces on there, it's time to kind of give it some more water. plants don't know if it's Monday, Wednesday, or Friday, and
That's right.
Need to be able to water that. So definitely take a look and see how that grass is looking, and then give it a nice deep watering.
And it's always good to not water on really in the middle of the day, or if you've got a good breeze going on in the afternoon, because all that water on your sprinklers, especially if you do just have a sprinkler at the end of a hose and you sort of drag it across your yard, you're probably losing most of that water to evaporation.
Yeah, it's very dry, our atmosphere. We all know that. But all that water is just going to go right into that atmosphere, and you're not going to get anything really touching that soil, let alone penetrating into the ground. So definitely you want to look at about 1 inch per week for Bermuda grass to be able to get enough of water going into the soil profile. 1 inch of water is going to actually penetrate 4 inches down.
And it's always also a good idea, I think, to check your sprinkler systems if you have one installed, because sometimes, you know, if you're doing some lawn maintenance, you might knock that sprinkler sort of off where it's supposed to be. So every now and then check your sprinkler system, because if you're noticing that you are watering regularly but you still see some really dry sort of bluish spots in your yard, it might be because your sprinkler might have somehow gotten moved.
Yeah, exactly. We do recommend to water your lawn in the early morning. Definitely you want to take a peek out there and see when it's going on, because sometimes you can kind of hear when your sprinklers go on and off, but you may not necessarily see them. So take a look out there and see what's going on. A lot of times if you have too much high pressure, you kind of create like a mist, almost a fog.
Well, another thing I think that probably will brighten up a yard is if you have some flowering plants, some wild flowers perhaps, or any other native plants. It's a good idea, I think, to deadhead them, because probably in the extreme heat, they're not going to be really putting out a whole lot of blooms. But it's good to remove, I think, those spent flowers, because when you do that, it really does sort of brighten a lawn or a yard, I think, considerably.
Yeah, definitely. And a lot of times our native plants, they'll self-seed. Mm-hmm. And you start getting a lot of volunteers sprouting up. And if you want to prevent that, it's really nice to remove those spent flowers before they go to seed. And that's really going to control any of those little volunteers that pop up in those beds that maybe are kind of in an unwanted location. A lot of times you can certainly deadhead or even remove some of those plants and as cut flowers and bring them inside.
And going back to lawns really quickly, I forgot to mention this, but sometimes people let their lawns grow a little too long. And then when they go and mow their yards, they are going to notice that it looks dead, even though it looked perfectly green when it was growing out nice and lush. Can you maybe explain why that happened?
Yeah, definitely. When we do that, we've gone on vacation and our kind of grass has gotten away from us. And we haven't done our maintenance on that. But what we're doing there is we're removing too much of that leaf blade, and you're going to see it, in essence, a burnt area, a yellowish color, almost brown. And that's just way too much removal of that leaf blade. It's going to look unsightly to begin with, and it's really not healthy for the grass itself. So we recommend to only remove about a third of the leaf blade at any given time. So that's pretty much your mower setting is going to be pretty high. It's going to be a really trim of your lawn. And the good thing about that is by just removing that little top layer of that leaf blade, you can leave those clippings on the yard and they won't look kind of dusty and kind of just sitting on there. They'll actually incorporate really quickly into the lawn, and that the leaf blade is going to give nitrogen back into the soil. So that's kind of a one way to avoid another fertilizer application.
And a good way to reduce landfill waste as well. Well, I think maybe some people might, who have indoor plants, they might have an idea of putting those plants outside, because I know a lot of us do tend to do that. They want their plants to have a little bit of sun exposure, but there are hazards to that, right?
Right. A lot of times, if you have a really tropical house plant inside and it's really protected, it has this humidity, no wind going in there, and really no temperature extremes, because you have hopefully an air-conditioned area where the plant is placed, you kind of essentially shock a house plant by taking it outside. So you definitely want to be careful that you don't put it in direct sunlight. The effects of that, you start seeing kind of a bleaching of that leaf surface, so it turns yellow, almost white. And then, of course, if the winds pick up, and combination with that, with the heat, then those leaves look really tattered and just kind of all torn up. So those are some things to kind of keep away. If you want to take them outside, you can do that, but just for very short amounts of time, and make sure you take them back in. One good thing in selecting a houseplant is if you do have a low light situation, then pick a houseplant that's going to be tolerant of the low light. So there's that ZZ plant that does really well. It's almost like a cast iron plant. That's one of the common names. It's a brutal indoor environment. That's a great one to pick, and it has nice glossy dark green leaves. Your Sansevieria, your mother-in-law's tongue, that's also really tolerant to low light, and as well as jade. That does really well too.
Well, there are, I think, some really nice succulents that people might want to consider putting out in their landscape, whether in pots or in the ground. And we were talking before the show about, how maybe bored kids may get around this time. It's summer vacation, and some of them might already be saying, "Mom, I'm bored. I don't have anything to do." But we were thinking about maybe a project that you and your kids can possibly do that is plant related.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, even adult gardeners are just saying, "Gosh, it's just way too hot to be outside." But there's always a way we can work plants into our lives. And yeah, I think a succulent dish garden has been becoming very popular nowadays. And you kind of see these pre-assembled succulent gardens in the garden centers nowadays. But it's kind of fun to kind of try your own. If you're an avid gardener, you can certainly take cuttings of your existing plants, or, share with your friends and your neighbors and your families. Or if not, if you're just going to start out, you can certainly buy full-size succulents at the garden centers. And they come in little 2 to 4 inch little nursery pots to begin with. And on selecting the succulents for your dish garden, I would just look for, one really great focal point of your dish garden, and then kind of like branch out around that, and look at different colors and textures and kind of bring that in and have fun with it. I mean, you don't have to be a designer or have an eye for all this kind of thing, but just try something, and something looks interesting to you, and stick it in your dish garden.
And there's a specific type of soil that you're going to need for that?
Yeah. The most important thing to remember when you're doing any kind of succulent garden is the drainage. You want to look at whatever your outside decorative pot, whatever it is you're going to use, and you want to make sure it has a drainage hole. If it doesn't, you're going to have to put some gravel in the bottom of that, and that's going to act as a drainage area and remove those plants from sitting in water all the time. And you definitely want to use a coarse mixture for that. Nothing really with peat moss based on there, but a lot of sand. There's some cactus blends of potting soil that you can find. But, I mean, succulents are really, really tolerant. They're not native. A lot of them that are here are not native to our area, but they do withstand really dry conditions. And you don't, it's not a plant you want to water very often. Definitely only when it's the soil's really dry. You know, plant them directly into a decorative container or do what we like to call a pot in pot system. So you have a large utilitarian pot that may not be so pretty, but then you kind of, you know, put it inside a decorative pot to be able to have, you know, to match your indoor decor.
And what kind of succulents would you maybe perhaps put in something like that? I know you say there's a variety. I think the one that we're most familiar with probably here in the region is an aloe vera plant. And those are always very popular.
Yeah, aloes are really very popular. And there's some flowering aloes and there's some non-flowering. Those are really great. The crassula are the jade family. And those have more of an oval leaf. They come in all different types of shades of green and gray as well. The echeveria is also like almost a rosette. So it kind of gives you a round kind of look to your dish garden. There's also some hens and chicks that kind of have that same formation that people are familiar with. So just because they're succulents, it's not going to be that they're spiny. So, you know, think about that as well, that they are safe to be able to have, you know, where pets and children can access them and be around. But they definitely like the high light. So a nice sunny location would be really good for your indoor houseplants.
But not necessarily outdoors, right?
Right. I would really recommend to put that in a nice little patio area where you can kind of sit around like a little recreation area, like a centerpiece, if you will, in your patio. Sometimes when the succulents get too much bright light or direct light, they end up having that same issue as the houseplants where they kind of bleach out when it gets just too bright for them.
Well, there are succulents, I think, that people like to maybe plant in larger containers or in the ground, and I'm thinking of the century plants or some of those variegated type of yuccas that I think are also really attractive. And I don't know if maybe around this time is when people might be seeing that tequila worm. It's the worm that you see at the bottom of the tequila bottle.
Right.
But those are the ones that tend to destroy those succulents, right?
Right, exactly. And they will bore in there and we'll see those detrimental effects of that worm. And it's maybe not a really common problem, but it does also happen. As far as any outdoor plants too, you'll also start seeing a lot of cochineal scale coming out on your prickly pear. Those are going to give you like a white, almost a cotton ball mass over your prickly pear pads. And if you're going to kind of go up to your little prickly pear and press it down where that little cotton ball stuff is, you're going to start seeing, you know, scale. And the scale is going to like exude when you squash it, like this really deep cranberry color. And that's the scale itself. It doesn't really do a lot of harm to your plant at all. It just kind of looks unsightly. I tend to ignore it when that kind of happens. But if it does bother you, you can try to pressure wash it off with your garden hose, but sometimes because it's, you know, sticky and waxy, it just kind of make even more of a big goop. So, you know, this is really you practice your tolerance to the outdoor critters and just let it pass. But
well, we're just about out of time for your June tips. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.